Kryptonite tale is. Travelers of the Dead. I want to tell you a story about three young teens, and one incident, that changed their lives forever. I really mean forever. It happened one Halloween night, in the late 60s. At a time when the country was at war, people were protesting. Some in peaceful ways, and others, non-peaceful ways. We were in the peaceful group. My friends and I went to concerts and parties, protesting with signs saying, "End the war now. Peace, not war." All that was great, but one day, my friends and I came across a group of travelers. They travels with mules, wearing hats, pulling wagons. And their clothes were different from what I have seen before. We just watched, as they stopped and began to put up tents, and feed and water their mules. Some of the people were old, and some were young. They started playing music, dancing and singing. One of them saw us, and called out to us to come and join them. We saw no danger in that. So we greeted them and they greeted us back. They said, "Town folks call us gypsies. We are friendly, and worry-free." Their speech were a little different, so I asked where they were from. One spoke for the group saying, that they believe that the earth belongs to everyone. We come from all over. The symbol you see on my shirt means, peace. I said, "I like that," and my friends and I agreed. So we mingle, started dancing with them, having a good time. I looked around and did not see Tommy, John or Jesse. They are my friends. What were those three knuckleheads up to, thinking to myself. The next day, after camping out in woods near where the gypsies made their camp, I got up and made a fire, and place a pan with water onto it. There was nothing like a fresh cup of coffee in the morning. We planned only the weekend to camp out, and have a good time. We were students at the college in the city. It was a great weekend until Tommy told me about what they had did. I asked Tommy, "What are you saying, dude?" He said he did not want to do it. He said he was having a good time, and that the gypsies were nice to him. I asked, "What did you do? What, the, hell, did you guys do?" He just dropped his head and said, "I told them not to do this. It was not right, and why do this?" I went along, like something stupid. I said, "Just spit it out, Tommy." I could not believe what I was told. Tommy said that him, John and Jesse, were looking inside the wagons, admiring all the culture artifacts, and the drawing that were inside the wagons. He said they came across a jewel of massive size. Inside that wagon was an old lady speaking language that I have never heard. John distracted the lady as Jesse grabbed the jewel. Tommy said with fear in his eyes, "She saw him, she saw him." She said very clearly in language that we could understand. She said, "This is what everyone wants. Be careful for what you wish for." I gather everyone around fire, as we ate sandwiches. I asked John about what Tommy told me. He said that they did take it, but returned it that night. Jesse said it was only a joke and that it was fake, and it broke into pieces, as I was holding it. John said, "You happy now, Tommy?" He said if it wasn't fake, it would have been split three ways. I learned later, that they did not return the jewel, and that it was broken into three parts. A few months later, we were all back in class, discussing the war, and the reason for war. My teacher wanted us to make care packages to send to the troops. No one opinion matter in class, only that we support our troops. After class, my friends and I would gather at the park, or the ball field, and talk. One day at the park, Tommy was not feeling well, and began throwing up blood. I asked Tommy, "How long has this been going on?" He said to me, confidently, that next morning when we got back from camping, "I have been feeling bad ever since. I've been having dreams about that night, over and over again. But what's funny? It is as though someone is standing over me, watching me sleep." I told Tommy, "It was just guilt. Because you did nothing to stop it. Remember the symbol on the gypsy's robes and what he said it meant, peace." Find your peace, and make peace to your mistake. He looked at me and said, "Why is Jesse and John having the times of their lives? John has a new convertible, and Jesse is the team captain on the football team. Girls are falling all over them." I said to Tommy, "We know that they did not return the jewel. They probably sold it, even though they swear that they did." A year has passed, and we are again looking for Halloween decorations and costumes. The war was near an end, but the protest continues. That Halloween night, John was driving his convertible, as he spins out of control, and hit a tree. John was pinned in the car. His left leg was crushed. After emergency surgery that saved his life, but did not save his leg, left John depressed and suicidal. After months of therapy, John began to recover and all seemed normal. But one day, John called me and said that he was having dreams. The same dreams as Tommy were having. When John told me about the dreams, I turned my attention to Jesse. We all are seniors now, and football season has started. Jesse was being scouted by some of the top teams in the country. But Jesse was not the same. His throwing was off. He would call a play, but did not follow through with it. The other team was intercepting the pass. He was starting to punch his head, helmet on, or helmet off. The team doctor diagnosed Jesse with a brain injury. The local paper and school wrote a statement basically saying that Jesse did not have any questionable hits to the head or injuries that could have led to this diagnosis. Jesse's promising football career was over. Tommy, John, Jesse and us remained friends and met between classes, went to movies, and continued to protest until all the troops were finally home. Time went on, and I soon graduated from college. Tommy, Jesse, and John, even though they were having problems of their own, they also graduated. We got together often, but as time went on, John and Jesse became more irritated and unhinged. It were like they were trying to kill themselves. They were drinking heavy and job hopping all over the state. I noticed something different in them. They did not care anymore, but kept to themselves so that others would not notice their position on life. I went over to John's apartment one day, and the door was open. I called out to John, but he did not answer. As I passed the kitchen area, I opened the hallway bathroom, and the water from the faucet were running. The steam from the hot water had fogged the mirror, and written on the mirror was the word, "Dead." I called out again, but got no answer. As I approached the bedroom, I heard a mumbling sound. I could not make out what he was saying. Just a silent, mumbling sound. I opened the door to the bedroom, and saw John in the corner, face to the wall, saying, "I don't want to live," over and over. I touched him on his shoulder, and when he turned to face me, he was smiling. I asked him, "Was he all right? And did I hear you correctly? You don't want to live?" He said, "You would not understand. I am going to live." I said, "Yes, you are." Well, the weeks and months went by. We got together occasionally on holidays. I have started my own business, and my best friend got her nursing degree. Tommy was coaching at the local high school. He has an education degree and was teaching history at the school. Tommy continued to tell me about the dreams. He said the dreams are the same, over and over again. He said that John and Jesse are in his dreams now. He say that they be lying in a coffin, and as I goes up to see them, they awake. And the fright should have awaking me up from the terror, but I just continue to dream. It is like I know, in my dreams, that they are not dead. And that is scary. And when I wake up, it was like a pleasant, beautiful dream. I asked Tommy, "Why is that?" He said, "I do not know. Less than a minute, I am back sound asleep." "Why is that?" he asked me. I said, "Maybe you should see a psychiatrist, if you think that there is a message from your dreams. I personally think it is nothing to be concerned about." He was pacing back and forth, and breathing heavily. He got a little aggressive, saying, No one is listening to me. John, Jesse and I are cursed. What we did that night left us cursed. We have to try to find them and ask, are we cursed? That old lady can remove the curse, if we apologize.
I said okay. We will go back into the woods, but first we have to find them. The next day, I contacted the rest of the group, to fill them in and to get their help. They are all a go. I asked them to ask around, and look in local papers, for any sighting, or articles on them. To see if we can locate them. They are travelers, and they never stay in one place for a long time. One thing I know, is that they do return, to the sites, and trails that they have traveled. It was about this time, a few years ago when we encounter them. I told Jesse, and a friend, that was with us that day, to go east, and that Tommy and I, will go west. If you were to see them, call us immediately. Tommy, John and Jesse, will need to do this together. The next weekend, we started our search. The geography have changed. Developments were popping up in places, that we used to party and camp out. It was a beautiful thing to see. Progress, and that we were a part of that progress. But in the back of my mind, I began to believe Tommy's story, and felt sad for them. I called Jesse to see how they were coming along. Although Jesse has problem communicating, and getting his words out, his understanding is astonishing. I wanted to see if they have seen anything, or any signs of them. We had no luck that day, and returned back to our meeting place. I said to them, let's not overthink this. Look around the city, and continue to search the papers. They do come into the cities for basic supplies. Keep your eyes open. Weeks went by, still there were no signs of the gypsies. Tommy was still having the dreams. Jesse and John got a grip on their lives, and began to strive at their careers. John was a project manager, and Jesse was a director of a non-profit organization for disability. Tommy decided to see a dream therapist. The months went by. I went to see Tommy one weekend, to see how he was doing. He said, when he is coaching he feels better. He said, I feels needed. The team looked up to me. But when I'm not coaching, I am more depressed. I asked about his therapy, and was it helping him? He said it only clarified my dreams more. He then said, analyzing my dreams, might make you feel better, but, it might make your symptoms worse. He also said, you know I could not tell the therapist, the whole story. Tommy and I, went for a walk. I wanted Tommy to not think about his problems. I wanted him to just be normal, and think normal. Enjoy what life has to offer. Jesse and John have their problems, but, did not have the dreams, like Tommy was having. They looked frail, but success was good to them. Tommy and I went back to house, where I said my goodbyes, and I told Tommy, to stay strong. We will find the gypsies. The week before Thanksgiving, a friend of the family, was hunting up on Macy Road. He told me that he ran across a band of gypsies, camping on the other side of the road. There was an old abandoned house, on about 2 acres of land. I called Tommy, but did not get an answer. I called the others, and told them of the sighting, and to be ready to go tonight. I went looking for Tommy. He was not home. I called again and he answered. He said that he was in town, and for me to come to the corner of Knight and Main. He said that he think that he is looking at one of the gypsies. I rushed to town and behold, sitting on a park bench, near a statue of a soldier, was a gypsy, we think. We walked over to him and started talking, and before we could ask him a question, the gypsy said, you're the cool dude, and chick that party with us. What with the threads? I said that time changed things. The gypsy said, you know what good about us? We see no time, no future, no past. We only see now. We do see your past, your present, and sometimes, your future. Now that I mention future, I see your future. The gypsy was looking at Tommy, when he said that. He told Tommy and I, a story about Tommy, Jesse and John's future. The gypsy said, "The stone you took, that looked like a diamond, was a curse my people found a long time ago." The gypsy went on to say, "We once had two of the gems. How we know it is cursed?
I was told, my ancestors were making a deal to get some supplies. The greed of man saw the gems and wanted it for payment. 70 years later, those same men found one of our ancestors. I was told they were demons. Very thin, very tall. Small horns on their hands. The men were friendly and humble, I was told. It is said that one of them was only 5 feet tall, and the other one, 6 feet or so, before the curse. My ancestors said that when they came, they were well in their hundreds."
I asked the gypsy, "Can the curse be broken?" He said, "Come to us tomorrow night. I am told that there is a way to end the curse." It was great news. I could not wait to tell the others. We all got together that evening at the local grill and bar. We had burgers and a drinks of our choice. A little celebration before we go to see the gypsies. We were cheerful and happy. We talked about what our plans are for Thanksgiving and also Christmas. There were hope and joy that filled us. After leaving the bar, I drove as far as the road would take us. We traveled the rest of the way on foot. John was able to roll on with a little help here and there. The stars were out, shooting stars seen in the skies. We have now reached the gypsies. They were all gathered around a campfire. The gypsies said, "To sit. Join us. It is the night of life or death." I thought that had a crazy theme, as I looked at Tommy. I did not want to interrupt. After about 30 minutes, the gypsy Tommy and I saw in town stood and said, "It is time. Great Mother is ready to perform the ceremony of right and wrong. It will end the curse." I told the gypsy, "They are ready." The gypsy said, "Let us all go around the wagon. Before we start, the cursed ones will have to remove their shoe and remove the one on the rolling wheels." As we went around the wagon, there was a large circle with flowers, beads and leaves around the circle. Inside the circle, dirt has been removed. To me, it looks 6 feet deep. John and Jesse begin to question what is going on. Tommy and I only told them part of the story. They were not the only one concerned. I asked the gypsy again about removing the curse. Again he said, "This is the only way." I gathered John, Jesse, and Tommy to the side and said, "Are you sure about this?" Tommy said, "I heard this story. I don't know if I believe him or not. But I cannot go on living like this." Jesse and John said, "I can." I told them that it were their choice, and their choice alone. John and Jesse wanted to ask Great Mother a question. They were led to her, where they asked, "Will the dreadful dreams stop? Will I feel energized and healthy again? Last, will I heal?" She said, "The curse was the cause of your flaws. The cause of your weakness. The cause of your lack of control. But your choices were your choice. Choice to drive crazy. Choice to continue to play, when deep down, you knew you should have stopped. But, to answer your questions, you will feel energized and healthy again. The dreams will stop. And life and death would be restored. The curse will be over." They then ask the Great Mother what we have to do. The gypsy man said to remove John's shoes and sit him into the circle, and for Tommy and Jesse to remove their shoes and enter. Then, Great Mother said some weird language. Words that Tommy, Jesse and John has heard before. Then she spoke the English language. She repeated what she said a few years ago. "Be careful for what you wish for." Then suddenly, all the gypsies turned and faced away from them. The flowers, leaves and the beads begin to rise and move as there was a breeze in the air. The night was still. I panic.
"What are you all doing? Why are you not facing them? What the hell is going on?"
They said nothing. Then, silent. The leaves and flowers, and the beads, stopped moving. All the gypsies rose their hands to the sky. Suddenly, they dropped their hands and turned. I looked at my friends, and I looked at the gypsies. I heard a sound. It sounded like a rock slide, but we were not below any mountains. We were on flatland. What happened next caused me to scream out loud.
I dropped to my knees and wept. The ground had swallowed them up. I was mystified. I was angry. I wanted to say something, but I could not form a word to come out of my mouth.
Then Great Mother said, "Behold, one is right and deserve life." I lifted my head and stood up, wiping away tears, when I saw him.
"Tommy, Tommy, are you okay? I saw the ground swallow you up, along with Jesse and John." Tommy cried, and said, he never felt better. He cried for his friends, because he know why. I asked Great Mother, "What the hell is this? Where are my friends?"
Tommy held me, and my girlfriend, saying, "That was the only way to end the curse." The little time that I was gone, that same story, that the gypsy told you, and I in town, were told again, in our mind. Jesse and John were able to hear it told to them, but more gruesome. They did not want to live like that. I was spared, because of my innocence. I never held the jewel, because I knew of the wrongdoing, and that the jewel was broken into three parts. I had to suffer also. Jesse and John had one last request. They said, "Tell their family and friends that they are now travelers. They are traveling with the gypsies. Travelers of the dead." The end.